T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Doug Gottlieb is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Doug's pumped up, I'm
Fox
sure.
Sports. No, he's Doug, are you pumped up for the lottery tonight?
Lottery day, come on.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, in terms of if Cleveland's going to get, you know, their next LeBron, is that the...
That's the thing. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, I'm sure in New York and Phoenix and other places, they're hoping for that.
I kind of hope New York gets it.
Why you say that?
I just, you know, like...
I don't like your attitude, Doug.
No, there's nothing anti-Cleveland. Cleveland's had their star, right? But I think, I don't know. I mean, the Knicks have been so dormant as a franchise for so long. You're not going out? So dormant as a franchise for so long that I think it'd be better for the league, don't you?
No.
I mean, they don't need to win a title.
It would be better for the league, but we don't care.
Yeah, but I don't care.
We don't care what's better for the league.
I also think they could do it better. Why don't they just have the lottery ping pong balls like every other lottery?
Like everyone can see it happen live.
Yeah. They should.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We so overthink things. Like, we have to have Arthur Anderson and they're going to be the official judges of this year's lottery. Right? Or you could just do the ping pong balls.
How about the owners of the team have to have a battle royale to see who gets the first pick?
Least entertaining thing ever.
Really? Billionaires beating each other up? Like, actually forced to be physical? I think
death.
That would be good.
To the death?
To the death.
I'd be okay with that.
Till someone dies.
To the death. Now that's entertainment.
I mean, I think we're all watching too much Game of Thrones. I think that's really what it is.
Doug, like the running man.
Obviously, the lottery's tonight, and everyone's excited. If the Cavs get the number one pick, I'm going to probably run around naked like a maniac through my neighborhood because I'm a diehard Cavs fan, and I've just been miserable for the last season. But if they
for
do
one
get,
season, I mean, seriously, I know, dude, you went to the finals 4 straight times.
Well, yeah, I know. But
right?
But we were
it's true.
We were pretty lucky there. But we're a little spoiled.
We want to be lucky again.
We're spoiled, Doug. We're spoiled. Yeah,
you got the regional lottery. You won the regional lottery. You just happened to be in the one region of the country that happened to give birth to LeBron James.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Steph Curry.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have come back with Dan Gilbert.
Something special about this place. But if we get the number one pick, Doug, you do a lot of college games. You cover the college basketball. You cover the NBA. How special is Zion?
I mean, he's not just special. He's unique. Like, I think Ja Morant has a chance to be a tremendous player, but I don't know how unique he is, right? There's other guards that he's like. Like, in order to create a Zion Williamson, you almost have to do the weird – you remember Weird Science? Are you guys old enough to remember Weird Science, Johnny?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you take the lips from one chick and the legs, and then you put it all together, and it's Kelly LeBrock.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got to put the body – it's like a football player's body – a little bit of the post game and toughness and explosiveness of Larry Johnson for the back, you know, some of the court awareness of and ability to guard positions 1 through 5 like Draymond Green. He's left-handed, which is unique, you know. And then, you know, you kind of give him a little bit of Barkley in that he's undersized. He's like 6'5 3/4, whatever. Like, you kind of go through all these different things, whereas a lot of these other players, guards, you know, R.J. Barrett, for example. I think he's going to be a good pro. I don't know if he'll be a great pro, but a good pro. But, you know, he's kind of like a poor man's Harden, a little bit stiffer. You know, there's the other guys that he's like. So he's not just tremendous. He's unique. And then you factor in there's just the likability factor. There's like a positive energy that comes from him. A joy of playing basketball, which in and of itself can be unique as well, right? Where, like, you're watching Kyrie and you feel like Kyrie almost makes you feel like he's doing you a favor at times.
Yes.
Showing up and playing. And that's not the way that Zion plays. Granted, you know, I don't know if Kyrie was different back when he was 19 years old, but there's a lack of arrogance there, and I think it also is special. So from all of those aspects, he's pretty amazing. Do I think he's going to be as good as LeBron? Nope. Do I think he has, you know, do we have no idea what he'll look like at 260, 255? You know, can he get there? You know, how does he have the energy to play? Is it, you know, some baseball guys have lost weight and not been nearly as effective. You know, basketball guys generally, you lose weight, you're better. But, there's a bunch of stuff we don't know.
Right.
But I think he's got a chance to be really special, and he's a fun kid, and he's unique. So he's awesome to whoever gets him.
I mean, he made Duke likable. No player has ever made Duke likable before this guy.
Yes.
It's miraculous. Agreed. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a special thing.
Yeah.
It's the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I can't explain it.
Yeah,
but you watch him, you can't take your eyes off him. You know, and it's not just the dunks. Like, let's not give too much credit to the dunks. It's not just about the dunks.
We're talking with Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports. Doug, if the Cavs end up with the second pick, it seems like a no-brainer to take Ja Morant. Although I keep hearing from people around the Cavs that, Dan Gilbert loves Colin Sexton and doesn't want to put the two of them together, and that maybe they won't take him. Would that be a huge mistake to pass on Ja Morant at two?
I think it would. I think it would. I mean, like, look, what are your other options?
I don't know.
Like
Barrett, Reddish.
Yeah, or if you'd want to trade with Phoenix or something like that, so you can get, is there something special package you can get with Phoenix? Maybe that would be the one caveat. But if you're going to draft, I don't love Reddish at that spot. Reddish has got, it's not about his game, because I do think he'll shoot it more consistently. I don't know how tough a kid he is. And there's just some stuff where I don't know. I don't find myself in love with him, especially the number two draft pick. I think he's going to be a really good player, though. And maybe Sexton is the right guy. But I don't. Why can't you have two guys in the ball and the guards and just go get after it, and figure it out?
Exactly.
It's not like they're close to making the playoffs anyway, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
let's go figure it out. And then, in a year or two, you figure out which one you like more and you want to keep one. I also think there's the positive, again, if Phoenix is not ahead of you, they badly need a point guard.
Yeah.
And maybe you make that move. So, or you can move on from Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
That's not against the rules.
That's true.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Doug, yesterday the Cavs announced the hiring of John Beilein. It was a bit of a surprise to us. Was it a surprise to you? And what do you think about the hiring?
Well, I mean, I guess it shouldn't be, because last year, if you ask anybody at Michigan, I mean, he legitimately called all those kids that were thinking about going to the NBA and said, hey, I'm thinking about going to the NBA too. So it's not surprising. We do this thing where we make it a referendum on college basketball, or the guy's 66 years old and he wants to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see what it's like to coach the best players in the world. And so I think that's what it's about. It was surprising. I do think that one of the reasons it could work is, yes, his teams play with great discipline. But I wouldn't say he's like a browbeating disciplinarian. Right. The thing about Coach K that no one talks about is dude, that guy gets after guys, he just does. He does not mince words. And I'm not sure how that works in the NBA. If he wasn't, maybe Coach K gets away with it. But there are other guys that haven't worked in the NBA because they're so used to being having such a dictatorial influence on their team. That's not how Beilein rolls. He is professorial. Now, do I think it'll work? His general offensive philosophy is one that has been implored now by several NBA teams, not necessarily just small ball, but the idea of, taking your five man and putting him out at the top of the post and opening up that lane for all different sorts of action. And if you watch Michigan, he's even evolved from some of that. He doesn't run his old offense because he didn't have the personnel. So he's been able to evolve some these past 2 years. And I'm sure, in his own mind, he's like, look, I have core beliefs. On the other hand, I've shown, late in my career ability to evolve, and I want to try some different things. He's a good basketball coach. He understands the new age of the NBA. I think he understands. We do give some of these players a bad rap. We act like, all of them have bad attitudes and all of them can't be coached. Most of them are grown men that want to be coached. If the guy knows that they don't want to be coached by guys that are idiots. That's really what it comes down to. And, will it be hard to be a college guy and and be like, well, you're a college guy. Yeah, but he also doesn't have some veteran team made up of hardcore pro guys that are going to laugh and roll their eyes at him. He's got a bunch of young, wide-eyed guys that are going to learn the process with him. So I don't think it's a crazy hire, but it was definitely surprising, you know, to leave for Cleveland. On the other hand, you know, again, he almost left for Detroit last year.
Right. Yeah, Doug Gottlieb's with us. Doug, do you think that Kevin Durant will play at all in this series?
Yes, I would guess he will.
Even if they get up 2-0?
Yeah, I think he'll play. I mean, I don't know how much I think he'll play. I mean, I don't know, like, look, I don't have any insight. Like, the whole thing where it's his calf and he's hurt his calf before, but he was holding a little bit lower than his calf, and then it's a strain, but then he was out for 1 and 6 and 7 no matter what. I don't know if they need him, right? Like, I just don't think this is a good matchup for Portland. But I get the sense that he'll play, and I get the sense that DeMarcus Cousins will play, too.
We're talking with Doug Gottlieb. Yeah. Bad matchup, so obviously you think Golden State's going to win. Who do you like in the Toronto-Milwaukee series?
Milwaukee.
And who's got a better chance of upsetting Golden State in the finals?
Probably Milwaukee. Who's Kyle Lowry going to guard?
Yeah.
In that, if they play Golden State and Kevin Durant's healthy, like where do you put him? I mean, he's been a good player for a long time, but you know, and then I love the Fred VanVleet story, but that's a little bit too high a level for him. Whereas I think Milwaukee's got, you know, better horses and depth in their guard spots. They're the best defensive team statistically in the NBA and the post and regular season. And they have Giannis who can eliminate a lot of mistakes. And then, you know, they're going to shoot a bunch of threes. I don't think, if healthy, I don't think Golden State loses.
Right.
But I definitely think Milwaukee has a better shot because they can, you know, because how unique they are to guard and the fact that they're going to spread you so far out.
I want to go back to something you said a minute about the Cavs' new head coach and, you know, is it a referendum on college basketball? A lot of people were saying that yesterday, and you were saying you disagree. But, I mean, college basketball is not what it was. Isn't that fair to say?
Sure.
I mean, you know, it is the game in trouble? I feel like we talk about that a lot with baseball. But I feel like it gets talked about less, maybe just because in sports talk radio we talk less college basketball in general. But, yeah. I mean, the regular season.
And that, by the way, is a sign of just how much trouble college basketball is in, right?
Sure. Yes.
Right? So, I mean, we only talk about Zion Williamson, and we talk about him because what kind of pro is he going to be? And he makes Duke likable. That's, like, the only way to talk about it. So,
yeah.
Look, I think one of the funny things is, for years, a lot of people have been trying to push the baseball model on basketball. Like, why don't we just do, like, baseball? Like, not sure if anybody's aware, but one, college baseball, not really watchable during the regular season. Secondly, like, minor league baseball sucks. Sucks for the players. Don't believe me? That's why there's this big push to pay them a livable wage. Like, the system actually was really good and been really beneficial. And, you know, because schools are finding new ways to profit, you know, off of their sports programs, suddenly we have, you know, kind of profiteering agents and parents and fans thinking, like, well, why don't the players? Like, all right, dude, you don't understand. It's a whole system that works together, the tax-exempt kind of umbrella. Anyway, you know, one of the reasons I think John Beilein could succeed in college basketball was because you can't – the Big Ten, they don't really cheat. And so, you know, even though in years past, had he lost that many draft picks, you know, he's not really wired to go and get the one and done. You can still compete because you just get good basketball players to buy in, play a system. You know, you get some veterans who in the Big Ten, they matriculate juniors and seniors to become better players.
Right.
And you figure it out. But, I mean, like, you know, I love Xavier Simpson. He's one of my favorite players. I tell my son, I record the games and say, like, play like this kid and you'd be great. On the other hand, like, dude, Xavier Simpson, does he get on the court 20 years ago when they had the Fab Five? Granted, they were paying guys to have the Fab Five. But the point is that the talent, if it is there, it only stays for a minute. And that now we're going to get to this time to where guys are going to, you know, get drafted out of high school. Right. And even though only a handful of kids should be drafted out of high school, they're all going to go. And so, you know, it's going to become like college baseball. And that's what people have been opining for. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but only people pay attention to college baseball is during the College Baseball World Series.
If at all. if at all. Hey, Doug, yeah, last thing. Terry Rozier obviously said this morning, I think on First Take, I believe it was, where he said, hey, I'm not going back to the Celtics if it's the same exact team. You had a problem with that. Tell us why.
Look, I don't think anything he said they didn't know. I don't understand the win in it. You know, describing that they had, you know, two different fives and two different game plans, and sometimes, like, look, it was the Celtics appear to be just as big of a mess as all of us on the outside believe from the inside. But tell me what the win is. I mean, look, he wants to start, okay? But, like, dude, you want to start, and I'm not sure he's a starting point guard in the NBA. Maybe Phoenix, because they don't have one. Maybe Detroit, you know? But Boston didn't view him as a starter. Otherwise, you know, they'd be willing to pay him to keep him. And then he knows they can't afford to keep him if they keep everybody. But what is the win in saying that on national TV?
Yeah, you know? There is none.
Explain that. You know, that's burning a bridge that's creating an atmosphere of dysfunction where it may have already existed, but it doesn't actually matter. Like, that doesn't – if you want to be a point guard for an NBA team, you got to be a leader, and that's not what leaders do. So that was my real issue with it. I don't understand the win in it.
Doug, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Good luck today, guys.
Thank you.
This is not an anti-Cleveland thing.
No,
right?
We don't. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate
it. I think the league is better, but if they get him, I mean, it'd be really cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Exactly. The league wants the number one market in the league has been – dormant for 20 years.
If Cleveland got him, that would be a really cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, be cool.
No, but we like, get your point about
LeBron,
the Knicks.
He didn't make the playoffs, and now we got some sort of next LeBron.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Not
thanks, bad. Doug. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.